Football crushes Waldorf. Soccer goes undefeated. And volleyball sweeps on senior day. Hello and welcome to Season 3, Episode 6 of Talking Dogs. I'm Kyle Ulbrich, here with Aaron Spivey. Aaron, how's it going today?
It's going good. You see, my voice is back now after last time. It is back, but it's good to be back here. And obviously, you know, a lot of good wins today for Concordia as well, especially with our football team beating the brakes off of Waldorf.
Yes, so the long drive did not seem to affect them on their way to beating Waldorf. Is that 54-0?
Yep.
Crazy score from them. In Forest City, Iowa, this game was, you know, super far away. So our guys, they went the night before, spent the night, and then went and played Waldorf midday and then came back that night. But look at the score line, 54-0. Not a very even distribution of scoring by, you know, period of play. We only scored 7 in the first quarter. Waldorf was hanging in there with us.
7 points in the first quarter?
Only 7.
Okay.
Yeah, so Waldorf was putting up a fight. They were hanging with us. We scored with just a minute 52 left in the first quarter, so it took us 13 minutes of play.
That is a little bit, I'm pretty sure either the coach is like a little bit upset with that, but I'm pretty sure he liked, I mean, you know, first quarters usually get to a little bit of a rough start, so I usually let that slide, in my opinion.
Yeah, and especially coming off a long road trip,
yeah,
and you're not used to spending the night in a hotel, so we'll give them a break on that one, because then they came back really strong in the second quarter, 31 points.
31.
In the second quarter, they scored 2 minutes in, 9 minutes in, and then they scored 3 more touchdowns in the last 5 minutes of the quarter.
Wow.
Yeah, so very impressive there. We ended up putting up another 13 points in the third quarter and another 3 points in the fourth quarter, getting a lot of those third, fourth string guys in. So really got to empty the benches, empty the sidelines, get everyone some game time, which is always good to see.
Yep.
But we had some very good individual performances as well as team. So on offense total, we had 422 yards compared to Waldorf's 100. We passed for 269 and rushed for 153. Pretty good on penalties. We only had 4 penalties throughout the game. Talking about some individual performances, Gideon Stark, obviously our starting quarterback, he went 11 for 19, 223 yards with 3 touchdowns. We ended up getting 2 other quarterbacks in as well. Camden Jansen came in, went 10 for 15, 38 total yards. And then Nixon Liguri, he was 1 for 2, 8 yards.
Wow.
So got 3 different QBs in there. So love to see that. Rushing, we had a lot of guys getting rushing yards. We had Calvin Sassman. He had 20 attempts, went for 125 yards with 2 touchdowns, 35-yard longest run. Tyler Douglas came in for 19 yards. Nixon Liguri, he was in rushing a little bit. He went for 9 yards. Then we had Devon Tolliver come in for a couple attempts, get 3 yards on one of those. Receiving, we had a lot of receivers getting the game. We had 8 receivers getting yards in this one.
8?
So usually you line up with, you know, 2-3 receivers. We had 8 in this game, cycle their way through.
Wow.
So the main man, Adam Van Cleve, he got the majority of the targets. He got 6 targets, 121 yards. So he was averaging 20.2 yards per catch.
Ooh.
Yeah. 2 touchdowns for him. Then we had Max Bartles coming for 73 yards and 1 touchdown. Tyler Douglas got himself 1 reception for 34 yards. Dane Omel got 22 yards. Jackson Fry got 13. Calvin Sassman with 6. And then Carter Skleba with 4. So, again, got a lot of people in the game. We had Peyton Atwood. He got GPAC Special Teams Player of the Week for his kicking performance. He went 5 for 5 on extra points. 2 for 2 on field goals with a field goal of 50 yards, which is actually a school record.
He got a school record of kicking 50 yards?
He got a school record, 50-yarder.
Hey, yo, I like that. Hey.
So the old record that's about 13 years old, it was set back in 2011.
Wow.
And it was a 47-yarder, so he knocked it down by 3.
I bet that bench was going crazy when he hit that one.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you have the school record now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, we gotta give a shout out to kickers, man. Kicking
sure.
is a tough thing to do. I mean, like, think about like the angle with you only get one chance.
So it's the epitome of you have one job.
You have one
and
job.
And if you mess up that one job, everyone's like, ah, you messed up.
Yep.
Yeah. But he wasn't the only one to get some kicking action. John Fellhofer went 1-for-2 on field goals, 1-for-1 on extra points, and then Ashton Gazga went 1-for-1 on his 36-yard field goal.
Wait, so they gave some people some time, like, so they gave, like, they have backup kickers and just give them a chance to see if they can kick it?
That's what it seems like. So we hit four field goals.
Yeah, four field goals, and yeah, we had backup kickers, and some of them were, like, either people on the team that's on defense or offense, they just kicked the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I guess you can put anybody a kicker at the moment. It's not easy, but still.
Yeah, and we only had three punts on the day. Braxton Koch got all three of them. He was averaging 37.3 yards, put two of them within, you know, the 20-yard line. So pretty good from him. Thinking about the defense, lots of good defensive performances. Grant Huss, he got 10 tackles, 5 solo, 5 assists. We got Dylan Meyer with 3 solos, 4 assists. Terry Sebeck with 4 solo tackles, 1 assist. Drake Trent with 1 solo tackle, 4 assists. Then we had Jaden Sear with 4 total tackles. AJ Frazee with 4. Dalen Henson with 3. Tanner Fram with 3. Caden Thompson with 3. Will Potraz with 2. So, you know, we could go down the line. There's about 100 of these.
That's a lot of tackles.
You know, getting some tackles. So, really good performance from all of these guys. Just talking about some more of the touchdown stats.
Yep, I'm here this one because I love touchdowns. That's like my favorite thing about football.
Yes, for sure. It was a Waldorf attempted punt that we ended up recovering in the end zone, basically.
Wait.
For a touchdown. Yeah. So basically what happened was they were punting. You know, and then it went over their punter, and Dalen Henson got onto the ball in the end zone. So they were punting deep in their own territory.
Right,
ball was snapped over the kicker.
So they said that, it was an overhead snap.
Yeah,
I thought it was a block or anything like that. But you're telling me it was just a miscommunication play.
Yeah,
and
the snap was either off to the side or over his head, and Dalen just picked it up in the end zone.
So it was already in the end zone. He was already there.
Yes. He just picked up the ball. Touchdown.
That's the most easiest touchdown I think you could ever get right there, yeah, to be honest, in my opinion. Like, that's I'm trying to, like, comprehend right now on that one.
So congrats to Dalen for an incredibly impressive touchdown. You'll take those 6 points, though.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so, I guess there's not too much to say about this game. We should have won the game. We did win the game. Yeah, not a ton to say about it besides we got the job done on the road this weekend on Saturday away at Mount Marty University in Yankton, South Dakota. That game will be at 1 p.m., so make sure to tune in for that game.
Yeah, all right.
All right, and speaking of other people who have faced Mount Marty this week, we've got women's soccer.
Yes.
They've had 2 games this week. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that Briarcliff game?
So the Briarcliff game started off, you know, in a little bit of fashion. This is how I'm going with the scoring. Within 3.40 seconds into the game, Briarcliff scores.
Uh-oh.
So, and I'm commentating this game, and I see that. I'm like, oh, like, they're here to, like, come out serious with it. Like, you know, a little bit, like, it was like a little bit of a wake-up call. You know, some teams don't come out strong and aggressive. And it was a little bit scary for Gregoria, or so I thought, until we had Sadie Morris come in and score the goal unassist at the 11-minute 32 mark in the game.
Yep.
But then right after that, Kiana Rios was like, oh, you got a goal? I'll do another one. So it's like right after. It's like they just scored a goal. She scored another goal.
Nice.
In that first half. So that's how it is. So they made the game go to 2-0. But then we're not done. Obviously, second half. Obviously, the person that everyone knows talking about, Kirsten Gardner, she gets a goal in the game to make the score go to 3-1. And then after that, Kiara Rios taps it off, getting her second goal of the game to make the game 4-1. And then that game was a little bit shaky at the first start because obviously they got hit with maybe Briarcliff scored the goal.
Yep.
But I talked to the coach Nick Smith, and I had a comment from him.
Mm-hmm.
He said overall, their performance was strong. You know, they got off to a little bit of a rough start, giving up an early goal, but the team responded really well, staying composed and resilient, and responded with 4 goals, especially with Kiana Rios scoring those 2 goals. Mm-hmm. It's a solid win against that opponent, and that's like it's like good momentum to go off to keep that undefeated streak going as well.
Yes, for sure. And that undefeated streak dates all the way back to the fourth game, the fourth conference game of last season. So last year they lost their first three conference matchups, but then they haven't lost since then. So it's over a year-long streak. It's like 15-0-4 in that time.
Wow.
So they're on a crazy streak right now. You just talk about that dominance in that Briarcliff game. 18 shots to 5.
Yes.
Our goalie only had to make 4 saves. Their goalie made 6 saves but gave up 4 goals. Just giving some love to those assisters on the team. We had Abby Haynes get 2 assists, and then Naya Kirchner, who Coach Smith calls the heartbeat of this Bulldog women's soccer team, she ended up getting that assist to Kirsten. So really strong performance from them, but then not a shaky game, but not quite what you want to see from the game last night against Mount Marty.
Yes.
I mean, you were watching that one a little
bit. I was
bit
watching
as well.
That one. That was a defensive battle, let me mm-hmm. tell you. Both teams were doing well. But the thing was is that Concordia, I was out shooting Mount Marty 20-4.
Mm.
So you gotta give shout out. I'm gonna give shout out to Mount Marty's goalie. you gotta give it because like you held them to like you they had 20-4 shots and they had and none of them hit the goal.
Yep, 10 saves from Mount Marty's goalkeeper.
10 saves right there and the 2 halves as well. But then Concordia, obviously, you know, shooting the 4 goals there for like the attempts of that whole game still doesn't matter because obviously now they had 2 of their goalkeepers, Grady Smith and Aliyah Vidro. And they both split the times. They both played 45 minutes in the first half. I think Grady Smith played the first half of the game and then Aliyah played the second half.
Okay.
And both of them played, I'm talking about, they played solid. It was like defensive battle. They got some good stuff. You know, those 4 shots, those were 4 crucial shots. Good saves.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, again, Nick Smith highlighted about, like, they made sure to stay defensively strong, relying on the mentality and their grit. And, you know, that their players show willingness to step up, even though they responded well. Though there was a little bit of over-resiliency throughout the game. I mean, they got some yellow cards because they were arguing with the officials of some calls that weren't going their way throughout that game. And even the parents, I'm going all the parents on this one. The parents were like getting mad at the refs and everything. So like big call. But I'm just with myself like, I was like, hey, I guess it's a soccer game, but like, let's bring it down. It's like a Wednesday. It's a Wednesday night right here.
Yeah, but again, it's important to highlight that while the game didn't end up in a win, it's another shutout for this team. Always want to be getting those shutouts. They actually haven't had one in the last 4 games. So they, you know, gave up 3 goals against Northwestern, 1 goal against College of St. Mary, and 1 goal against Briarcliff. Their last shutout was on September 17th against York. So while they didn't score against Mount Marty, going forward, that's not going to be the issues this team has. This team has been known over the last couple of years to score a lot of goals. If they can get that defense, you know, locked down, which they've been solid in the last 2 games, but especially this Mount Marty one, they look very solid on defense. So I think despite the tie, this is a sign of good things to come because you know this team is always going to score goals.
Yeah, and that's the same thing with Nick Smith saying because he actually said that Mount Marty was going to give him a test. It was going to mm-hmm. be a test for Mount Marty. And because there's not the same team from last year. And they did. He gave Mount Marty credit for obviously being well organized in that game, holding their players to not like having shit shots and no messing up the game. They had like the game plan with it. Both of them had the game plan, but Mount Marty looked a little bit organized in what he stated in his comment.
Yes, for sure. And the women will be away in Sioux City, Iowa against Morningside University on Saturday. That is also where the men's soccer team will be on Saturday, but just like the women, we had games against Briarcliff and Mount Marty this week. So, started off, Briarcliff. That one was a 1-0 win. We had a lot of chances in this game. We probably should have scored a couple more goals, but we ended up getting, you know, the 1 goal we needed, and we held it to a shutout. So, 1 goal is all you need if you don't let them score.
Exactly.
Our goal came later in the first half. It was in the 36th minute from Oliver Benson. It was a nice run forward by one of our center backs, Mike Weibel. He played it out wide to Milo Hegarty, and he crossed it. They cleared the ball to Oliver Ballas. So Oliver Ballas, he shoots the ball. The goalie saves it. Rebounds to Oliver Benson. So Ollie to Ollie. Oliver Benson heads in the rebound, 1-0. That's all it took. It was a very intense game on the shooting side. So there were 40 shots in the game.
40. Wow.
We had 24 shots. Briarcliff had 16. Quite a few of them were off target, but we forced 12 saves out of their goalkeeper, and then our goalie Nolan had to make 6. He actually ended up getting GPAC Defensive Player of the Week for his performance.
Congratulations to him, though.
Yes, for sure. But yeah, both goalies in the game were quite good. If not for Briarcliff's goalie, it could have been 4-5-0. But overall, a solid performance from us in that game. We had 2 yellow cards, but nothing crazy. You know, no red cards in this game, thankfully. Richard Buschmeister, he led us in shots. He had 7 shots with 5 on target. Just couldn't find the back of the net in that one. But moving on to Mount Marty, which was yesterday, he ended up getting the opener and what ended up being the winning goal in that one. So we started off a bit slow in the first half. We went into halftime 0-0. Admittedly, I should have scored a couple. A couple other guys could have had some goals as well, but we went in 0-0. You know, we were playing better than them in the game. You know, we should have been winning, but you know, didn't score in that half, obviously.
Yeah, but...
But then, about midway through the second half, 62nd minute, Richie, he got his goal, assisted by Hugo Garrote, on Hugo's birthday as well. So, happy birthday to him. So, that one made it 1-0. Then we talked about Milo in the last game. He ended up getting the second goal, assisted by Slade Light, and then... Connor Robbins scored the third one, assisted on the stats. It says assisted by Ugo and me, but it was really just me.
Bro, you just try. You just don't run under the bus, why don't you? Just don't run under the bus, why don't you? You just want to get. You just want to get credit, don't you?
Yeah. Well, so Ugo crossed the ball in. I tapped it towards goal. It deflected off the goalie, and then Connor scored it. So, just by how an assist works, it would be my assist. Ugo did the hard work, but just how the stats work.
Can you just be happy for both of y'all to get the assists a little bit instead of trying to be like throwing
okay,
on the
but you can't have 3 goals with 4 assists.
Yes, you can.
That doesn't work.
It can't happen.
That doesn't make sense.
It happened right there on the live stat. It's you're good.
All right, as long as I get my credit.
You did get the credit.
Okay. But yeah, so overall there were definitely some things we could fix. We had again a lot of shots in this one. We had 22 shots to Mount Marty's 6. So could have won this game by a lot more. Their goalie, again, had a really good game. He ended up making 7 saves. Inigo, in our net, he only had to make 1. It was off a free kick. So held them to very few chances. Made a lot ourselves. On a different day, we score, 4, 5, 6 goals. But solid performance. So can't complain about it. Shutout. 2 shutouts in a row. That was kind of the problem early on in the year is we were just leaking goals. But now, starting to settle down, find our defensive shape. And again, a sign of good things to come. We have Morningside on October 4th. So that's going to be Saturday at 5:30 p.m. So tune in and watch that one.
Now, speaking of you, obviously, you said a shutout. You had 2 back-to-back shutouts, right?
Yes.
Talk about women's volleyball getting a shutout on especially Senior Day.
Yes, that was a pretty awesome game for the volleyball team. Like you said, Senior Day, always love to do well on Senior Day. But 3-0 sweep, like you mentioned. Overall, pretty dominant performance. You know, the sets ended up being closer than what it looked like on the court. It looked like we were the better team, and in the final score, it also we were the better team. But the sets went 25-20, 25-23, and 25-23.
Wow, that's close.
So pretty close sets, yeah. But if you look at our hitting percentage, we had. Double theirs. They had 0.049. We had 0.111. So again, not the best hitting game from us by any means, but certainly nothing to be too concerned about.
Right.
Like I said, Senior Day, they're honoring 10 seniors on the team, and I got a chance to talk to a lot of the players and Coach Bolt after the game, and just about how they're able to close out sets and about. What the seniors mean to this team. So Coach Bolt said, referencing the seniors on the squad, that they put in a whole lot of work. They're a foundational group, a bunch of small-town kids from Nebraska that work really hard, And they've meant a lot to the program and the growth from freshman year all the way to senior year, and have done a lot of good stuff. When I was asking them about how they managed to close out the close sets, because like you saw, all of the sets were somewhat close.
Yes.
And lots of previous games there have been close sets that Concordia seems to just win. And multiple of the players and Coach Bolt credited it to their motto of let it rip, which...
Sound like Blade right there. I'm sorry.
It's Blade Blade's like let him rip.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's like Blade, so go ahead. I'm sorry.
But no, you're good. But the idea is that in the points after 20, so, you know, point 21 and on, mm-hmm. you know, lots of teams, if the score's close, you know, you're a bit hesitant. Maybe you'll tip the ball over instead of hitting it. He said, we want to go for everything. We're going to hit hard. And if something doesn't work, we know we tried our best at it. So they're not going to be timid and just work to get the ball back over the net. They're going to be playing their game and trying to get good points.
I like that. I like that mentality. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like just a summarized version of just attack.
Yes.
Go full throttle. Like, don't, even though it's close, full throttle, don't change who we are. And that's literally how it has been going. I mean, look at them. They're still number two in the whole NAIA.
Yeah, the whole country, yeah.
Yeah, like country right there. And that's what that mentality is. Basically, when it's a close game, don't change the system, just attack.
Absolutely. And to just shout out some of the seniors on the team, Ashley Keck had 10 kills in the game. That was a team high on her 28 attempts. So she hit for 214. Addie Kierkegaard had 3 block assists. We didn't have any solo blocks in the game, but 14 assists. I'm just looking at some of the other seniors. Molly Martin had 3 block assists and 5 kills. We had Kaya Scott with 6 kills. So lots of good stuff from our seniors on the team. Overall, complete performance, good defense, good offense, closed out the close points. So not much more you can ask from them there. It's a Morningside week, apparently. So our volleyball team is going to play against Morningside on October 3rd. So that's going to be a Friday matchup. Mm. And then they're going to be staying in Sioux City to play against Briar Cliff on Saturday.
So it's going to be a wonderful morning indeed.
Mm-hmm. So we've got 2 GPAC matchups in the next 2 days. So stay tuned for those. Try to tune in if you can. I'm sure there's live streams going on for those games. But one more thing real quick, just to get it on your guys' radar. We have the Pink match coming up soon. So it's going to be the Pink Out game October 22nd. And to all of those Concordia students tuning in, you can actually get a Pink t-shirt. If you check your email, you should have gotten an email about ordering those. It's $6 per shirt, so very reasonable price. You just have to fill out the form in the email that was sent to you and then stop by the Student Life office to pay for it by October 6th. So you don't have much time, so make sure you get it done. And then wear those t-shirts to the game on October 22nd. And that one will be against Mount Marty. So looking forward to that one. Hopefully we can get lots of good turnout in those Pink outfits for breast cancer awareness.
Now, for my freshmen that are listening here, trust me, you want to go to this game right here. You want to be in front of, think about, surrounded by pink for this one, for celebrating the breast cancer awareness month here. But it's a home game, and we need to be loud and let the other team know, like, hey, we here, we mean business. This student section is crazy.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Nothing like a good student section at a volleyball game.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So we just talked about that Pink Out game. We got 2 games coming up in the next 2 days. But then just to close out the episode for today, a little bit of tennis action. So we were talking about them last week. We were previewing their ITA NAIA Central West Regional Championships. And those happened on September 28th in Salina, Kansas. And we had a couple pretty good performers. So we had, it was 12 total Bulldogs qualify on the men's and the women's side combined. Our best performance was from 2 of our guys in the doubles tournament. So we had Nick Velders and Hugo Fuentes made it all the way to the championship match in the open doubles match. They ended up losing 2 sets to 1. Still a really good performance in a very competitive field. On the individual side, Nick Velders, he advanced to the quarterfinals of the men's open singles tournament, and then Mariana Milano also reached the quarterfinals, but she was in the women's bracket. Mm. So some pretty solid performances all around. The fall tennis season is actually over now. They play a little bit in the fall, but then their main season is in the spring. So we'll talk about them a little bit more when that time comes.
Now, before we close out, I have to give a shout out to the cross country team because they actually got meet this weekend too.
Yes, they do.
And it's going to be at Briarcliff University, the Briarcliff University invite on October 4th at 9:30 a.m., which is going to be, obviously, they're going to be in Sioux City with it. They got to leave early in the morning.
Yes.
So let's, obviously, for those, we're going to talk about that hopefully in our next episode. Yep. Obviously, it's going to be episode 7, you know, that everything. But no, it's going to be a good outcome to there. So wish the best luck to, obviously, the soccer team, the volleyball team, and obviously cross country team coming up for this weekend.
Yeah, we'll all be in Sioux City. Volleyball, cross country, men's, women's soccer, we'll all be up there.
Exactly. So it's gonna be a battle right here. I think we got a good title for the next one if something good happens on this one.
I think so. Sioux City Takeover will be the title of our next episode.
Ooh, that sounds so good if that happens right there.
Sioux City Takeover. But until the Sioux City Takeover is talked about next week, that'll be all for today's episode of Talking Dogs. This has been episode 6 of season 3. Make sure to check us out at cunesower.com/podcast, or it's even better, check us out on Spotify. You can follow us, get notified when new episodes come out, and you can give us a 5-star review. That makes us feel really good.
Exactly.
Get our follower count up. So yeah. But this has been Aaron Spivey and Kyle Ulbrich, and everyone at the CUNE Sower newspaper wishes you a good day, and go Dogs.